Today we will take a look at music. Music in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and how it's used today. We all just got done singing the first part of our song service today. It's a very nice addition to the way that we worship God every Sabbath and Holy Day. But why do we do it? Is music, why should that be a part of our worship toward God? Should it be? So we'll look at, first, going back in the Bible, we'll look at the correct use of music, and then wrong use. It did not take long for humans to discover music. The Bible records Jubal, the great, 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 great grandson of Cain, as the father of stringed and wind instruments. So about five or six generations after Adam. And that's in Genesis 4 and verse 21. God is the creator of this world and the physical environment in which humans live. He created sound in order to enrich our experiences here on earth. Now, God is the creator of sound. He's also the creator of music. Like everything that God creates, it is for a purpose. Music for recreational purposes can be very enjoyable, even an outlet of expression and creativeness for the case of a musician. God is a creator, and He made us like Him. He wants us to be creative, to create music for our own edification and for the enjoyment of others can be an enjoyable pastime. But music, as it relates to the worship of God, on the other hand, should not be so lax in purpose and composition. When we use music in order to worship God, it is for God's glory and not our own. God allows for music to be used to worship Him and praise Him, but it should do just that. Praise Him and not the individual. We see from many examples in the Old Testament that ancient Israel, in times of peace and prosperity, were able to explore ways of worshiping God vocally and with various instruments. So let us take a look first at instruments in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Psalm 150. It's the last chapter in the book of Psalms. Most all the Psalms are the words, or what would have been lyrics, to songs written by King David and other artists, and were usually accompanied by a variety of instruments, wind instruments, stringed instruments, and percussive instruments. Now, some of them today might not go too well with our church services, but what we'll do is we'll take a look at specifically what ancient Israel was using. And in Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance." Now that might throw some people off, but one way that they did praise God was by dancing, and they used percussive instruments like a drum, hand drum, or a tambourine to do that. And continuing, it says, "Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. So it says, let everyone that has breath praise the Lord, because God gave us all vocal cords, and of course we're not all phenomenal singers, but we all do come and worship Him by singing hymns on the Sabbath. So let's look first at the percussive instruments. They're the most simple and primitive form of music. They create sounds which are more associated with rhythm and dancing than with the musical notes and chords which are created by wind or stringed instruments. The Bible mentions a few. The timbrel, which we hear of, in Hebrew is tof. It's the principal percussive instrument, and it's exactly like the tambourines that we have today. The next is the tuppen. It's a handheld drum, usually connected with dancing and joyous occasions. So we see that some of these instruments wouldn't necessarily have been used in ancient times as part of the worship ceremony, but perhaps for weddings or other ceremonies and celebrations, especially the ones that have to do with dancing, I'm sure. The third one in the percussion category is the tzil-tzilim. That's the Hebrew name, and it resembles cymbals, and that would possibly be used to cue the choir. Moving on, we have wind instruments, the kahlil. It's mentioned in Genesis 4, verse 21, when we talked about Jubal. That was specifically the word that it said back in Genesis, when it says he's the father of those who play that instrument, and as well as the other one. And in Job 21, verse 12, 30, verse 31, and Psalm 50, verse 4 that we read. This is the most prominent reed instrument used in the Bible. It's usually translated as flute. However, it's not what we would consider as a flute, but it's similar to an oboe or bassoon. Evidence has been recovered dating to around 1300 BC, showing that little statues of people playing this, and they can see that that's roughly what it was. But we know that it goes back even further to Genesis. The shofar was the next one. We hear a lot about the shofar, especially during the Feast of Trumpets. It was blown to signify important days in the Hebrew calendar, including the first day of the seventh month, which is the Feast of Trumpets. But it was also used as a musical accompaniment. And the word shofar comes from an Assyrian word which just means wild goat. Third of the wind instruments is the hazazoret. It's a pair of silver trumpets used by priests to gather the people various occasions for the sound the call for the camps to go forward, invite princes for gathering, alert for danger, and signal for warfare. So we see that some of these instruments were used to praise God, and some were used for the ancient civilization, the way that it was structured, and to really indicate people when they couldn't send out an email or text them when something was going to happen. And then stringed instruments, finally, which I, and probably most would say, is what they were using in order to worship God, as well as, of course, the some of the wind instruments and percussion instruments. The nebel is very similar to a harp, had 4 to 10 strings. And as you can probably imagine, a lot of these were very simple instruments. You know, they might have varied in complexity, and there might even have been some very complex instruments. The next is the kinnor, which is the other one that Jubal is credited with, but it was also the instrument of King David. And there was an accurate picture found in an Egyptian tomb, which was probably excavated at some time, and it shows that it's just an instrument similar to a lyre. The instrument was typically used on joyous occasions, and the Bible shows that David even stopped playing it during times of mourning. So God did approve of this form of worship. He did put them in his Bible, and he let the Psalms be published with all of the documented instruments. And a lot of it was largely instituted by King David. And for decades, we've enjoyed a variety of music in our own church, in our services, and which is a form of worship to God. We have our own version of the Psalms, which we've set to music in our purple hymnal we enjoy today and on every Sabbath day, as well as occasional special music, which is often accompanied by stringed instruments. It is okay to work. So the question is it okay to worship God any way we see fit with music, including modern variations on traditional forms of music? The answer, of course, is we should not worship Him in any way which is selfish or self-serving. Is it okay to play in church as a four-piece rock band with electric guitars and a full drum kit, or with rap music as some churches do, just to bring in young adults and teenagers into attendance? The answer is, of course not. It is abominable to do so because it is designed to sound and feel good, but is entirely distracting and is not respectful and is not a reverent way to worship God as He commanded us. So we'll read, if you'll turn to Amos 6, verse 3. Here's a prophecy, a word to those who had become lazy and lax and were using music to their own detriment. It was a warning to them. Amos 6, verse 3. Woe to you who put far off the way of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall. So we can see a picture of some people who have started to live just a very lazy and sensual way of life. In verse 5 it says, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David. So we see a misuse of music, and the Bible warns against that. And they had become idle, and they weren't using music to glorify God, even when destruction was at their doorstep. Personally, I'm very passionate about music, and I know a lot of you are too. I'd say most people enjoy music. And just a little bit can add a lot to our church services, because it is a language which is far-reaching. It can affect fully grown adults as well as little children. Last year at the Feast of Tabernacles, we enjoyed a variety of special music sung by adults and children alike on stringed and wind instruments. And I would say, considering our size, God has blessed us with an abundance of talented musicians. Last week, we heard a nice instrumental from Mr. Mitchell for the offertory music. I appreciate that. And so does our God who's watching over our services, whom we seek to worship. And I've been thinking a lot lately about how much more I should be contributing with the talents that God has given me, whether it's by adding to our services with music, or by uplifting those around me in a positive way. I encourage you all to do the same, of course. We have a lot of great opportunities to praise God during the fall holy days, which are quickly approaching, and during these long summer months to edify our weekly Sabbath services. So I just encourage any of the talented people out there to keep going and do more. And in conclusion, if you will turn to chapter 14 and verse 1, and we'll read. This is, of course, a future vision in the book of Revelation 14, verse 1. Something that we could hope to be a part of. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. And they sang as it were, a new song before the throne. I really can't imagine what it would sound like, 144,000 people singing. I'm sure some of you have heard maybe a couple thousand or a few hundred people singing at once. It's really cool. Before the throne, in verse 3, picking up again, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God.